62 millimeter is only going to seem like a pinprick.
He's dead?
No way of knowing. If he had a good breath before he jumped in with you, then he could have held it long enough to, well, to have some kind of chance of being alive. For another minute or so, when that long fucker goes back under the sea.
Sharks!
They could all see what looked like a dozen or more dorsal fins, slicing at high speed from around the point of the coast, heading directly toward the serpent. But the water was so disturbed by the monster that it was impossible to make anything out with clarity.
Even if he's still living, they'll finish any chance for him. It's a shame. There were some real good things about the kid.
The great sea snake, looking like some nightmare from a prehistoric past, was still coiling, its head held high, with a limp body dangling from its jaws. It seemed oblivious of the fast approach of the group of sharks, almost flaunting its helpless victim to the group on the piled debris. Ryan was holding the Stire, a small part of his mind considering whether it was worth trying a shot at the serpent's eye. But it would probably make it clamp its teeth shut on the teenager, or drop him so that the sharks picked up the meat. The range was well within Ryan's capabilities, but the muty creature was moving so fast, surrounded by a veil of sparkling spray, that a clear shot was impossible. Mildred had also drawn her Czech target pistol, thinking along the same lines. She'd won a silver medal at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996 in the free shooting, and the AKR-551, adapted to take the Smith & Wesson 38 caliber round, was as good a blaster as you could get. She caught Ryan's eye and slowly shook her head.
No, it's out of my range.
Sharks are attacking the snake!
Christy scrambled up to join Dean on the rocks, shading her eyes with her hand, holding her mane of scented hair off her face.
They aren't... I'm not sure if... No, they aren't sharks. I reckon it's a big school of dolphins. And Dean's right, they're going at the snake, ramming it really hard. Serious attack.
Now everyone could see it. The armorer replaced his glasses, then took them off again to try to wipe them clear of the salt mist. The action was taking place well out to sea, but the violence of the dolphins' assault could easily be heard. They were driving in with their bottle noses, thudding into the heavy body of the muty serpent. Every cracking blow made it shake. It was desperately trying to dodge the elegant swift mammals, but they were far too quick for it, sliding past its clumsy movements, with others coming in on the creature's blind side.
It's bleeding. There's pink blood in the froth around it.
The snake lifted its body high, its questing head turning blindly from side to side, shaking Michael like a rag doll.
Kill the bastard monster! Sink the fucker!
There's more dolphins coming!
Christy pointed behind the ruins of the redoubt, toward the part of the coastal beach that was out of their line of sight. Ryan felt the short hairs rising at his knee. There was something going on that he didn't understand. Something that was out of kilter with normal life. Even normal life in the bizarre world of Deathlands. It wasn't the nuke-mutated horror of the giant sea snake that was so unsettling. It was the sudden arrival of the school of dolphins, seeming to act in concert to try to rescue Michael. Where had they all come from? And what had happened to unite them? There were another 8 or 9 of the intelligent creatures joining their brothers and sisters. It was possible to hear their high-pitched fluting and whistling as they communicated with one another above the distressed bellowing of the serpent. The great mouth suddenly opened, and the teenager's body dropped into the ocean. As the muty snake turned away, they could all see that its flanks were streaked with blood from dozens of wounds. It would have been impossible for one or two of the dolphins to have harmed the giant creature on their own. But sheer force of numbers had defeated it, driving it away. The loops of its body coiled and swirled toward the west, driving a V of white foam into the water. A quarter mile off, it dove and didn't surface again. But Ryan and the others were watching what was happening behind the monster.
Oh my God!
Ryan had readied himself to open fire into the middle of the thrashing crowd of dolphins, suspecting that they might have been victims of some sort of collective chilling madness. A gestalt desire to attack and try to slaughter any living thing that got in their way, if Michael was still living. But Ryan lowered the rifle, as all of them saw what had prompted Mildred's stunned amazement. The dolphins were working together, like a resuscitation team of paramedics, gathering around the drifting unconscious figure, nudging it, until a pair of them swam beneath it, lifting Michael onto their backs, balancing him there.
What on earth?
The activity around the slumped body was so intense that the ocean seemed to be boiling, almost as if there were an underwater volcano erupting. Dean was on tiptoe, jumping up and down, his sodden clothes squelching.
They're taking him, Dad! Taking him to the beach, keeping his head out of the sea!
Let's go. Up over the top of this rubble. We must be able to find a way onto the mainland, get down onto the sand.
It wasn't that simple. The ruins of the redoubt were tangled, filled with a maze of rusting iron and steel, locked into clumps of stained concrete. By the time Ryan found a clear path to the beach, the dolphins had all disappeared, and the body of Michael Brother lay still, just above the tide line. He didn't look to be alive. Mildred sat back on her heels, wiping damp sand from the tips of her fingers.
He'll make it. He's a strong boy. Got a real slow pulse and respiration. It probably helped him all the time he was under the water with that bastard monster.
He would have been paying his silver penny to the Dark Ferryman if it hadn't been for your skills, Dr. Wyeth.
Mildred turned to Doc, ready to snap back if she detected a hint of sarcasm. But the old man was solemn, no trace of a smile on his face.
I didn't do much, Doc.
Only saved his life, Mildred.
Shucks, John Dix. I bet you say that to all the gals. It weren't nothing.
Ryan was lying on the ground, honing the edge of his panga on a handy stone.
I reckon Doc's right, Mildred. Think he would have died if it hadn't been for you.
He licked his lips, tasting the salt dried on them. It had been a lung-bursting sprint, the soft sand sucking at his boots, slowing him. His arms had been working, knees lifting, struggling to reach the motionless figure. Dean had been there first, his power-weight ratio so much better than any of the adults. But he hadn't known what to do. Mildred had been running with all of her might, close on Ryan's heels, yelling out to the boy not to touch the unconscious man. She'd stood over him for a dozen heartbeats, recovering her breath, trying to weigh his physical state. There was a lot of blood around his face and arms, and visible bruising on his throat. Yellow sand clotted in his hair and eyes. But he was still breathing. Just. Mildred had used her fingers to clear his mouth, easing his tongue to one side. Stooping over him, she began to give him the kiss of life, helping his lungs to function after the massive trauma that had so nearly snuffed him. The young man had coughed, bringing up a mixture of sandy water and blood. His eyes had blinked open for a moment, then closed again, but his breathing had steadied. While they waited for Michael to claw his way back to something approaching full consciousness, JB had been taking sightings with his tiny pocket sextant, working out where in Deathlands their latest jump had taken them.
Hawaii. Sand and palms and a warm sea? Gotta be.
If my suspicions are correct, my dear, then I believe that we might be a good deal farther east than that. Perhaps not all that far from Florida.
The armorer looked up from his calculations.
Florida it is, Doc. But a hell of a long way south. Some kind of chain of islands heading toward Cuba.
The Keys, of course. We are on one of the Florida Keys.
I can't remember very much at all.
Do you not recall the creature snapping you up like Jonah in the jaws of the great whale?
Sort of, Doc. But only sort of. I took a big, big breath and dived in along with Christy. Truth is, I was very nearly crapping my pants at swimming underwater like that. I was terrified of getting trapped.
How about those triple-acing dolphins?
As I was heading toward the sunlight, I can remember being hit. Harder than I'd have imagined possible. More power than there is in the world. It gripped my chest. I thought I was having a heart attack. I saw Brother Albert die like that, and he said it felt like his body was being crushed.
Everyone was gathered around Michael, sitting in the soft sand. There had been no further sign of either the dolphins or of the wounded monster.
I blacked out. Next thing, I'm flat on my back here. If it hadn't been for you seeing what happened and telling me, I'd have thought it had been a miracle.
The way I look at it, Michael, that came as close to being a real honest-to-God miracle as I ever want to see.
Doc and Mildred shared memories of what the Florida Keys had once been like, though neither of them had ever been down there. Both agreed on the extraordinary length of the sinuous archipelago, stretching out into the Gulf of Mexico, its single highway running along the coral outcrops, with dozens of bridges carrying it over the water. Once Michael had recovered and was able to stand, albeit shakily, Ryan led them inland. It didn't take long. Once they were over the bank of sand dunes, lined with feathery palms, they were able to see clear across to the glitter of the ocean on the far side. less than 300 yards away beyond the corrugated remnants of the four-lane blacktop. There was a little scrubland with some stunted mimosas on either side of the road, but nothing else. No stores, houses, churches, gas stations, phone booths, or schools.